Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's your girl Claudia Jordan, and we're back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. Hello, Al.
What's going on, Claudia? What's up, soulmates? It's Friday.
We are excited about it being Friday. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
What's going on? It is Friday, and yes, I'm excited about it, but I don't plan on going out. So don't call me, because I'm not going anywhere.
That's a lie. You got me.
I like this sweater. This weekend I have, thank you.
Is that like a horse or something?
I don't know what this is. This is something that I found in the back of the closet.
You should claim that horse and say, yes, it's about me. You know what I mean?
I mean, they do say that, you know, on Twitter.
Oh, you know what? No, earmuffs. I don't want to be inappropriate. Okay. Hey, are y'all drinking tonight on this Friday night? Are we drinking?
Absolutely.
Armand, are you drinking?
No, I'm not drinking today.
Oh, okay. So we lied to the fans about us drinking all week because I'm not drinking tonight either. But I'm in New York, so I'm kicking it tonight in New York. So I'm gonna have fun. But we'll reconvene on this next week. All right, y'all. Now before we get to our topics, we like to kick off the show by highlighting Mental Health Awareness Month. Now, this month is dedicated to raising awareness and understanding about mental health issues, reducing stigma, and advocating for support and resources for those who are affected. All right, y'all. Why is it important to normalize conversations surrounding mental health? Al, let's go to you first. What do you think?
Sure. I think there are three main reasons, like you touched on. It reduces the stigma. It makes it easier for people to help getting help without fear or judgment. It also promotes understanding and empathy. And lastly, I think personally for me, it encourages early intervention and detection. And that's what's important. So instead of you waiting in, like I did until I was in my 20s to do it, had it been more aware and easier and didn't have a stigma to it, I would have done it much earlier. So those are the three reasons that I think it's important to promote mental health.
Better late than never. Mom, what do you think?
Yeah, and I totally agree with Al. And just to add to that, I feel like we've all been affected by mental health at some capacity, whether it's you or someone you love or someone that's close to you. So at the end of the day, we've all been affected by it. So we need to continue the conversation so we better understand it.
You know, it's crazy like how many people are silently suffering that actually know they have it. But it's also even scarier, the people that don't know they have mental health issues. And, you know, they may just come off as awkward or like, why do they do that type of thing? And I think maybe there should be some kind of mandatory testing for this kind of stuff to just see where you're at, you know, you better deal with what you have. Because there's a lot of people, I think, out here that don't even realize that they have mental health issues. But I like to just assume most of us do. And I'm glad that we're talking about this and that there is a Mental Health Awareness Month. All right, y'all, let's get back to these topics. And it's a new dawn and it's a new day for Megan Good and Jonathan Majors after the two were recently spotted frolicking and flirting in the ocean waters of Malibu. The two were both bodying and laughing with joy as cameras captured them in action. Now, despite the verdict and the naysayers, what are your thoughts on this couple still going strong? Alice, go to you first.
Look, to me, that picture that we saw all over the internet, it looked staged. It looked like they called the paparazzi and told the paparazzi, because to be honest, it's warm out here in LA, but it's not that hot. It's not that hot where we're all running to the beach right now. And on top of that, when's the last time we've been to the beach in Malibu and seen high profile celebrities? I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. That's just my personal opinion. But, you know, I've been very hard on this couple here on this show. But I will say this. Every time I see a picture of her with him, she looks really happy. And I do want to support that because I really do admire Megan. I admire her family. So with that being said, I'm going to give it grace. Now, Jonathan Majors, I'm still side-eyeing. But as long as he's making my girl Megan good, happy, I'm going to support this, even though I am still looking at him side-eye.
Now, Majors was found guilty of two misdemeanor counts of assault and harassment for an altercation last year with his ex-girlfriend, and he was sentenced to over 1 year intervention program instead of jail time. Armand, what are your thoughts on this couple? Are you buying it? Can we see that picture of production of that?
Yeah, because I was actually going to say when I saw it, it felt really genuine. I literally was going to say it didn't feel staged to me. I felt like they looked happy. They looked like they were having a good time. You can tell a person is healthy when their body looks good, right? So his body looks good. She looks good. So clearly they're in a great space because they're eating well, they're working out, and they're getting fit. So for me, I think it's a good showing of them being happy. So I'm here for it. If it makes them happy, let's go for it.
You know, I'm going to stick to my original thoughts on this. I don't think Megan Good needs to be paid to have a fake relationship. I think she's big enough a name that she doesn't need to do that. Now, if it was a reality star or someone that was trying to get on that doesn't really quite have the currency that Megan Good does, then they would, but she's not going to go from being married to who she's married to and then go just take a paycheck to be seen around with Jonathan Majors. I mean, do we think the bankroll is that big to like, let's just give her this humongous salary to pretend she's with an abuser? Like, I think this is someone to stand by someone with such embarrassing things. I think you'd have to really like them to like deal with all that nonsense. I don't think so. I just think that she's too big of a deal to do that. But you know what? If she's happy, he's making her happy. And, you know, we will have your back if anything goes wrong, Megan. But, Jonathan, just keep making her happy and we won't have no smoke with you. All right. Speaking of smoke, Monique is back at it again and reigniting her feud with Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey. During her comedy tour, Monique shouted to the crowd, "Bleep you, Oprah Winfrey. Bleep you, Tyler Perry," and told the crowd to repeat it. Now, but the outrageous part of it all was her insinuating that Oprah and Gail are lovers. That's what she said, not us. Take a look.
"And every time you see Oprah, you see Gail. Best friends, is what they say. I've never seen best friends like that. We ain't seen Stephanie 30 years. Who is loving Oprah Winfrey and Gail King?
Each other!
But we don't want to say this out loud because it's Oprah Winfrey. I'm too scared of this bitch. I'm too old to be intimidated by this bitch. I'm too old to hold the truth."
All right. What are your thoughts on her remarks? Armand, I'm going to go to you first. What do you think?
I just feel like Monique needs to know when to move on. She's dragging it at this point. Monique, you've been vindicated in Hollywood. Everybody was on your side. Everybody understands what you were saying. But now it's just getting to a point where it's too much. Move on. Because those same people that boosted you up, that was happy for you and clapping for you and vindicated you, they will turn on you and say, okay, she's just a complainer. We don't want to hear her drag Oprah and Gail and Tyler Perry every show. Those people will turn on you, Monique. So you're feeling good right now, but let's just move on, girl. Take your wins and move on.
Okay, Al, do you agree? What do you think? Hey,
well, listen, this is the deal. You can't piss a person off and then tell them how mad to be. We've said that 100 times, or at least I have on this show. And for me, even though I didn't like this, I will always advocate for someone who advocates for themselves, right? But in this case, like Armand is saying, this is like a never-ending David and Goliath saga, right? And to me, Monique, Tyler Perry, and Oprah are all examples of Black excellence. And I just don't want Monique's amazing legacy to be solely about her fighting with juggernauts Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry. I just think she's much bigger than that. She's much more talented than that. And she should be smarter than that at this point.
I went to that show when it came to Dallas and I got to see it live. And I will say, I felt that Monique is far too talented to make her whole routine about them. And she spent a lot of time talking about them. And I would like to see it balanced with some more jokes. Like, I get it. Listen, if you wrong someone, I get that you, you know, you want to get some things off your chest, especially if you feel like millions of dollars were taken off the table. I get it. I get it, Monique. You're not wrong for your feelings. But sis, I would like for you to be able to take this win and then make it catapult you to the next level. You know, I think that would be the best revenge, would be that. Even more so than saying F them and F this and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. You got off your chest. But I beg of you, do not make that your entire act. Not that, you know, you need to take comedy advice from me because you're the comedian, not me. But as someone that sees a fellow sis out there that does understand going up against the machine and winning and then still wanting people to know, hey, I was wronged. I think you give them a little bit of the victory back when it becomes your entire act.
It's like this is her only content now. So this is what worked. And so she's just going to keep driving it and driving. It's just kind of like you're talking about the same thing. And I'm even seeing in the comments, people are like, where are the jokes? And in her mind, she might be thinking, well, these are the jokes now, because that's what we liked at first. You know, that's what we gravitated to. That's what we celebrated. So she figures this is what works. And I don't like them, so let me take it on the road. Not realizing that people are like, OK, now this is not funny like it used to be.
Yeah, it's not as shocking anymore. Right.
Yeah. We don't care.
It's definitely not as shocking. And Monique, I think you are a fantastic actress, and that Academy Award approves that, says that so. I would love to see you more in those big, huge movies and doing your thing. And that's how you really shat on them, when you up there and you like, y'all try to hold me back, but you could not. I got another one of these things, because you are dope. You really are. And I get it. You're hurt, but don't give them back some of that power by continuing to speak on it. My opinion. Okay, moving on. Lawsuit after lawsuit. It seems like Kanye West can't catch a break. The rapper is now being sued for discrimination by a former employee at the Donda Academy after he was fired for not cutting off his dreads. The employee, Benjamin Deshaun Provo, claims that it goes against his faith and refuses to do so. What are your thoughts on these allegations, Al? What do you think about Kanye having someone fired because he did not cut off their dreads?
Can I be honest?
Yes, please.
I have always suspected Kanye does not really respect his own kind and people. And this isn't the first person out of his camp who said this. We covered right here on this show, a white employee even said that he does not respect the black employees. And to me, asking a black dude to cut his dreads gives anti-black vibes. Sorry, I said it, and I don't care. You can push back on me. You can say that's not true, because we know how much dreads mean to people of color. The symbolism behind the dreads. Black people's hair is important to us. For you to ask us to alter or take our hair off, that to me is unacceptable. And like I said, it just gives me completely anti-black vibes. And just something about just the aura of him makes me think that either it's his way or it's no way. And definitely, if it's not the majority, meaning mostly white people's way, then he's not interested.
Amon?
I agree with Al when he says his way or no way. But I just feel like people have to understand Kanye West has his own aesthetic. So in his mind, for this season, all the teachers need to not have dreads. Everybody cut your hair, from the black ones to the white ones. He probably wants them all to look the same. When I'm telling you, and I'm not even trying to keep bringing this up, but we couldn't even wear what we wanted to, our own clothing at that brunch. We had to wear descriptive black clothing at that table. When Kanye West does interviews, he literally has to have the interview cater to how he wants it to look. So all I'm saying is that is what Kanye wanted. And if you're going to go work for a person like Kanye West, you have to understand that today he might come in and say, everybody cut your hair. Or tomorrow, everybody's going to grow their hair out to have dreadlocks. That's just
illegal.
How it is.
That's illegal.
That's how it is. But then don't go work for Donda Academy.
They shouldn't have hired him. They hired him with dreads. They hired him with dreads. They gave him the job when he had dreads. It's illegal. The same way, if white companies were telling us that as black people that we had to cut our dreads or that we had to cut our afro, we would be in outrage. This, to me, is unacceptable. Now, I get it. He is a private company. He does have a preference. But then you can't run a pub. You can't have a company and hire people. You have to have them sign disclaimers. If that's going to be the case. And the disclaimer should say, I'm going to tell you what to wear, and I could possibly tell you that you have to cut your hair. If not, it is illegal.
I agree with that.
I don't understand why anyone now would want to even work for this man, knowing that he may.
You might not have a job.
On the drop of a dime, I might say, right. "Hey, tomorrow everybody got to come to work in feathers." All right, tomorrow everybody gonna have their vagina out tomorrow, just like my wife. Okay, today we gonna all have purple hair because this is what this man does. Shout out to Mental Health Awareness Month, right, that we are going through right now because of people like Kanye. Kanye, it is so sad to see how far you've come and fallen.
It is
because Armand, I know you're a fan of his, but I just gotta share. And I'm not trying to be one of the people that I know everybody because I don't know everybody. But I used to be at Jamie Foxx's house because I used to work with him, y'all. There's receipts. And I would be at his house and Kanye would come by with his backpack and he was a different person, you guys. It was a different human being. This guy was smiley and happy and social and I just saw the darkness come into his eyes. And I will not say it's just because of his mother. I think the business got to this man. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. I think there's something to be said about the powers that be, the rituals that go on, in my opinion, the things suck your soul out of you and get you to that next level. I believe in that stuff. Now, if I disappear over this weekend, then know that they got me.
But I'll come to the Donda Academy and check it out.
I just would like to say, you know, I don't feel like Kanye is colorist towards Black people because I feel like the same way he'll make Black people cut their dreads off, he would also suggest white people grow dreads the next month. You get what I'm saying? It's just in his head. Maybe he needs to have them sign disclosures about it, but I don't think he's like a racist towards his own people or in any kind.
Well, I just feel like he's got too many examples now where people have come forward and talk about his racist slant. I mean, and like I said before, he's got a whole other 2 or 3 lawsuits, remember, by a white guy who said that he does not treat his Black employees the same way. When you start hearing rumbles like this on a regular basis, hey, you can't ignore the smoke because there simply might be a fire.
Okay, well, I cannot ignore this commercial break. Oh, we're going to be fired. So let me go ahead. Coming up next, an Alabama woman hit a classic move during a shootout. And later, are there truths within conspiracy theories? Ooh, we're going to get into it when we return. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to TGIF. Happy Friday. All right. So let's get back to these topics. An Alabama woman stated that a legendary dance saved her life during a shootout at her apartment complex. Check it out.
So I'm getting to the car. I hear fire, at least by 7 rounds. So I'm ducking, I'm dodging, doing little Kim, trying to get my baby in the car, and I throw my baby in the back seat. And we just sped off. Next thing you know, a driver was driving past. I couldn't identify the vehicle, but Lord, I hope they catch him, Lord.
First of all, I gotta say this, and I just got another show idea, and I'm gonna share it. I love Black people on the news. I want the show to be called Black People on the News. It's a clip show, and all it is Black people telling stories on the news because they always do it with a certain flair. They always make everything mad funny, and it always goes viral. Like, this is so funny. All right, enough about that. What are your thoughts on the story, Armand? What do you think about this and the Lil' Kim moves?
Listen. I was trying to figure out, like, was this real or not? You know what I mean? But, you know, every few years, we have one of these viral stories. And I think this girl needs to be a comedian because she said, hey, this is my time to shine. I'm going to tell this story with so much color. And she did so. But, you know, here's the funny thing. She could be telling the truth. This could have really been happening, and this could have been her way of telling the story. I don't know. Black people, I love us for real. But I don't want to go to that ghetto at all.
Oh, damn.
No, you know, not where I have to little Kim pass bullets. That's kind of crazy.
Antoine Dodson, hide your kids, hide your wife. There's been a lot of clips that have gone viral. I'm telling y'all, networks out there. Al, what you think about this clip and the little Kim dance? And can everyone do it? Do y'all know how to do the dance?
You know, we know how to do that. That's my...
I'm gonna tell you this. I guess it's my age that's speaking now. Now, I laughed. I chuckled right along. I thought she was very comedic. But one thing we could always count on mainstream media doing is always finding the most ignorant person to interview when they go down there at a shootout. And I'm just so annoyed with it. I'm entertained. But that is not how we in our community look and talk. And I'm just so tired of mainstream media like just playing us like that. But I gotta be honest, I did laugh. I did think it was funny.
I don't think she was ignorant. I thought she just charismatic. And yes, we do have Black people that talk about this.
No, I have not been clinically diagnosed. Like,
my people and my family are all funny like this, and I live for my family reunion. I wish y'all could see my family reunion, because I'd be like, how did I come from y'all? They are so funny and so not Hollywood polished, and they just tell that's how common folk talk. Like, a lot of people,
I mean, I definitely won't argue that, because I come from the salt of the earth just like you, and I do the same look around. But I just wish that when there is opportunities to put us on television and interviewing people, why do they always have to pick the craziest person to interview and portray us such a way all the time? Like, that is the part that I don't like.
Did you think she was ignorant though?
I think she looked ghetto. I ain't gonna hold
you on that.
I don't know if she was a little ignorant. She was a high ghetto. Like, they could have had her on there, but then they could have found someone
had
else.
Somebody else, right?
They ain't gonna put nobody boring on the news.
Talk about you doing the little Kim Pass bullet,
right?
And
come
people
on,
like, come on, don't put that on the news for real.
I'm here for it. Sister, don't let these brothers hate on you. You continue to shine. And next time the news cameras come in your neighborhood, because I think they'll be back, I say you give us another dance.
Actually, we know they'll be back.
We know they're going to be back. Now, that's a fact.
I like it.
That's a fact.
That's a 50 fact.
All right. Amanda Seales revealed that she has not been clinically diagnosed with autism after revealing her diagnosis on Shannon Sharpe's show. Take a look.
No, I have not been clinically diagnosed by a doctor, because I'm not paying $10,000 to do that. And most people will tell you that at this age, you don't need a clinical diagnosis in that sense.
Okay. What are your thoughts? Al, I'm going to go to you first on this. What do you think about this?
So this is the part that upsets me. That upsets me when media covers Amanda Seales and certain other celebrities. Like I said before, when you have this label as a Black, successful, smart woman, when you have this label of being difficult, confrontational, hard to work with, people come after you wanting to prove you wrong all the time. And once again, instead of us talking about all her amazing stances and talking Black activism, Black women empowerment, we're here picking apart whether she was clinically diagnosed with autism. It's ridiculous. You do not have to be clinically diagnosed with autism to know that you have autism. There are different ways to do it. Therapists can do it. Pediatricians could do it. Neurologists can do it. You do not have to have a clinical diagnosis to be told that you're autism, everybody. This is simple. This is easy. So beating her up because she was not, quote, clinically diagnosed, but clearly she makes it clear that she was diagnosed by her psychiatrist, her psychologist, it's just the same. So let's just stop beating up on the woman or trying to pick her apart on the simplest, silliest, and the simplest of things. Let's focus on her positive and not always how we can pick her apart with the negative. That's my sentiment with this.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
I think, when can we make it in with Amanda Seales? I'm tired. And it's not even about, you know, the clinical diagnosis or if it was or if it wasn't. I think for me, it was the idea that, you know, she did lie, you know, and she basically tried to blame Shannon Sharpe. So here we go. You know, here she is again. Now she's, you know, blaming Shannon Sharpe for her lying about being autistic. And then she was on there complaining about Issa Rae. And it's like, now, girl, now we have to feel bad because you're autistic, that you lied about this. It's like, it's always something. I just have decided that I realize that I don't resonate with her. And she probably wouldn't be my type of girl, because I feel like not only is there always something wrong and there's always a woe is me factor to it, then she's loud and boisterous about it. So we all have to know about it. You know, most people that have problems, they like to keep it in. She's one of those people that are like, hey, this person person hates me. This person don't like me. This person's fault that I'm autistic and I lied about it. It's everyone's fault but mine, and I'm over it. Y'all can have Amanda Seales. I'll sit back and I'll watch from the sidelines. I'm signing out of the Amanda Seales group chat because I'm over it. I'm tired.
But you gotta, I feel like that's the part, the reason why she shared it, Armand. I think she's sharing that there could be a touch of autism because this behavior that she has, this need to always share that something has happened to her, is where she stands on the spectrum. And there's a wide range here, like, because there are plenty of moments where she's not like that, where she's socially conscious and she talks like perfect sense in certain spaces, but she's saying, I'm autistic. That means that there is a part of my brain, there's a groove in my brain that forces me to constantly bring up these conversations on her experience. And that's why she's hoping that this gives enlightenment to why she always does that.
Two things can be true at the same time. I've had a lot of discussions with some of my friends about this topic, about Amanda Seales. Amanda Seales is very brilliant. A lot of people that are autistic are very, very, they may lack in social skills and like seeing social cues. They're argumentative. They like to fight. They don't see how offensive or annoying they may be being, not saying just her, but people in general. Mm-hmm. They're not even aware of it. But let's not, we have to also address this. She did say in an interview that she was diagnosed. So it did come off. And it is not unreasonable for people to assume she meant clinically diagnosed. So I think people have every right to question it because she brought it up. Now, if she didn't bring it up, it'd be none of our goddamn business. But she did bring it up. And some people are like, well, were you not? So it did come off like, okay, were you not telling the truth? I do think 90% of Amanda Seales' problems does come from this because she does have some, well, let me not act like I'm a doctor because I am not a doctor. And I know a doctor, my sister-in-law, but I'm not a doctor. But I'm just saying this. I think a lot of her problems do come from being a little socially awkward and she doesn't really see how she can come off. But we do have rights as consumers of people who watch your interview to say, wait, you said this? Because we would hold everybody else accountable for what they say. So I think—
let me ask you guys this.
But she was diagnosed. But she was diagnosed. So she just wasn't clinically diagnosed.
But what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this information now that, okay, now all of a sudden she has autism. So now this becomes a blanket for all of the irrational things that she has said and blaming everyone else for issues that she's had. So now, because now she has self-diagnosed herself with autism, we're supposed to say, okay, Amanda Seales, now we get it. Is that what you're saying? I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
No, I don't interpret it as that. I interpret it as it just gives us context. It gives us context to why she always feels like someone is coming after her. It's a behavioral trait. So that's front of mind for her. In her autism, that's front of mind for her. That's how she feels. That's what she thinks. She shows up every day feeling that way. So that's what she's going to talk about. I don't think it's like, oh, give me a pass for being rude. Give me a pass for being arrogant. Give me a pass for being confrontational. No, I don't think that's what she's saying at all.
Well, now that we have this information and now that Amanda is aware of this, I think it would help her out if now that, you know, knowing is the first step, right? So now you know that this issue, maybe kind of like toning down some of the stuff on social media so she can get attacked less because it clearly affects her very deeply when she's attacked, right? Or she's criticized. But a lot of it she does bring on herself because she's so open on the internet. I understand that actually. Maybe I might be autistic too, or a little touch of it.
Oh, now we are going to be running around autistic.
Yeah, we are autistic. You cannot
there
make
we go. Armand, everybody's cannot... autistic at 42 and 50 and 35. Yep. I'm autistic too.
Exactly.
I'm tired of this.
You're coming for me now, and I have just self-diagnosed myself as autistic, and I feel like you were coming for me, and I am now offended, and I am going to tell you.
Me too.
Okay, come here next. We are breaking down viral conspiracy theories, and later, is it okay to sleep with your friend's spouse after they pass away? I am very curious to hear what y'all have to say. We'll be right back. Keep it locked.
Mom. Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Welcome back to TGIF. All I want to say, I keep telling y'all, the show is in the commercial breaks. But if we showed y'all what was said in the commercial breaks, there would be no TGIF. We would be canceled. Okay, right now I'm going to identify as polite and professional. So we're going to move on. Today's climate. Social media has amplified the voices of conspiracy theorists by adding an unexpected shock factor to stories that have impacted our culture. And that's why we are unpacking some of the most outlandish theories in pop culture history in a segment we like to call What's the Conspiracy? Ooh, new segment. Okay, tonight's conspiracy theory leads to the underlying question. Did the late O.J. Simpson really kill Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman? Or did O.J.'s older son, Jason Simpson, do it? Now, this theory stemmed from a private investigator who reported that Jason had a secret crush on Nicole and was upset that she did not stop by the restaurant to dine after her daughter's recital. Now, Jason was a chef at the restaurant and was known for leaving work with a collection of knives. It was also discovered that Jason's hat was collected on the crime scene and had dog hair on it. And just a note, OJ did not own a dog, but Jason did. What are your thoughts on this conspiracy theory? Al, did you know them? And do you have a theory on this? And what do you think?
It's so funny because I did sit beside O.J. Simpson at Johnny Cochran's funeral.
You was the third lawyer.
I've spent time with them in the Hamptons, too.
Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. I did spend a lot of time with Michael Jordan, too. Like I said, Michael Jordan is probably one of the nicest celebrities that I've met.
Absolutely. My family's
always taking good care of me. And his ex-wife Juanita and I had
right, of course, birthday.
So with that being said, I am 100%, I'm not convinced 100% that O.J. Simpson himself did it, but I am 100% convinced that he knows who did it. And I don't know about this conspiracy theory with the son, because this was such a vicious murder. Like when you look at the court documents and you look at all the photos, it was a bloodbath. It was just bad. Like the slitting of the throats, it was just bad. And for someone, just because they didn't show up to a restaurant that you dined, that you were working at or whatever, and get this response, those two just don't add up for me.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think the son did it, but I could see where all the clues would kind of make you feel like that. But I think that's what makes it such an interesting story. Like whoever did do it probably took those pieces and kind of put them there so it could lead back to the son, but it probably wasn't the son. So like Al said, I feel like OJ probably didn't do it, but he definitely knows who did it. But so I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, because I always think that, like, I feel like Black people, like, when we like someone or someone's Black, we like to twist ourselves and oppress them to not believe the obvious. And, like, there was so much history of, I saw this as a crime of passion, and, you know, like, he was angry, and Nicole was messing around. A lot of people know, rest in peace, but Nicole was somewhat for the avenue, I won't say the streets, but, you know, there's talk about that, and he was jealous, and there's so much evidence of how abusive he was. He had a cut on his hand, and it was like, okay, it looks obvious. And I was Jason Simpson. I'd be mad, like, why my name keep getting brought up in this? His name gets brought up in a lot of this, and now we're hearing about this piece of dog hair, and I don't know. I always thought it was OJ. I never thought anything else, but the gloves didn't fit. No, I was hoping before OJ died that he would give us a little bit of deathbed, like, I really did it, or it wasn't me, just something. And we didn't get anything.
Maybe we'll find a note somewhere.
But it was very ghetto of him and very arrogant when he came out with that book. That's If I Did It. I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're not helping yourself when you did that. Like, that's almost like a narcissist, like toying with you. Like, yeah, I did it, but I'm gonna message you. Well, if I did it, I would do it this way. That didn't help him when he did that. But I guess we'll never know because we're not agreed on this panel, right? We can't figure it out.
We don't know. I mean, I would lean more towards he did it.
I would lean more towards he didn't do it, but definitely paid somebody to do it.
Which entitles he did it. You know what I mean? Like he wanted her gone.
They did say that whoever killed him was an expert with handling knives. But you know what? I will say, OJ, as an actor, a lot of times when you do a lot of these movie roles, you do get trained in like weaponry. Like that definitely does happen, especially on movies like the ones that I don't do, but the ones that have the actual real budgets. They actually do teach you how to handle, you know, knives and guns, unlike the ones where bullets, the gun don't even move on the my movies. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, he's probably trained in all that kind of stuff. All right, we never know. Rest in peace, OJ, Nicole, and Ron. All right, keep it locked, because coming up next, a woman exposed her now-deceased husband's friends, and later, a former inmate makes history. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. A woman recently exposed her late husband's friends on social media for allegedly trying to sleep with her after he passed away. All right, what are your thoughts on this situation? And is it wrong for someone to date their friend's spouse after they have gone to the glory? Armand, what do you think?
I definitely am not with that. Now, I do have a friend that went and dated his friend's lover after his friend died. Now, his thing was, he promised to keep the friend and protect him and protect his lover. So that they married together, kept the relationship because they both had a mutual, which was the friend who passed away. I think that's too deep for me. I probably wouldn't do it. But at the end of the day, it's kind of nothing wrong with it either.
Okay. Al, what do you think?
I think that woman was giving off that good juju energy. And her husband's friend was like, I'm trying to get some. I think the mistake that she made here, not that it's a big mistake, but I think she was too chatty with him, right? Because she talked about when he would call and check on her. And you know, when you're too chatty with somebody who's already interested in you, he's going to shoot his shot. And I think at the end of the day, he is a man, right? But I got to agree, I really enjoyed her response. And I loved her respect for her husband. It just kind of made my heart tingle. And it reminds me of my mother. My dad died in 99 and my mother passed in 2014. And from 99 to 2014, my mother was like, no, I'm good. A lot of guys approached her, tried to date her. She's like, no, I'm good. My love of my life, I had a good run with him. I had 40 years with him and I don't need anybody else. So that's kind of how I read her response to that situation. And I really liked it.
There's some people that just be waiting just like little vultures for you to pass. Cause one of my family members, and oh, I'm so tempted to say which one it is, but there's some of them watch it. One of my family members, I used to hear on the phone, as soon as his boy died, he was on the phone with the wife. As soon as his boy died, oh, baby, I'm going to take you. And he was still married. You know what? I'm going to move on. But I just think it's dirty, especially when, you know, there are children around that could hear these types of things. But yeah, kind of wait. I mean, the person is going to eventually get back into the dating pool, but I don't know. How long did you wait? Did you just do it right away? Were you scheming for a long time? If it naturally happens, I get it. But like, people are just right away, just jump on someone that just lost a spouse to a death. I'm like, that's kind of raggedy.
Yeah, but she was beautiful. She was beautiful. Did you see her? She's a face. Everything was just beautiful about her. And she looked like she could cook and responsible.
So you would do it.
I'm not saying I would do it, but I can understand. I can understand why he shot his shot. I can understand. That was a beautiful woman.
But does that go against bro code or girl code to go with the
you know? I would say my bro code, yes. I would say yes. That goes against the bro code. But
it's not technically wrong.
All right.
Would you do it, Armand?
I feel like it just depends on the situation. Or even if it were done to me, I don't know if I would be upset. Like, I think morally, I if I'm sitting here talking to you, I probably would be like, no. But at the same time, if it was done to me, I don't think I could be mad, because I could understand. Maybe they had something in common. They could understand, like, hey, we both had memories with our mom, but we now bonded. It doesn't always have to be a situation where you're waiting for me to die to take my man. You know what I'm saying?
It could just would haunt his ass.
You know what I mean? It could just be like you guys bonded through that time and, you know, developed an attraction for each other. And then, boom, something happened.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, people do it to people that are alive all the time. That's for sure. So
yeah.
Person dead, you'd be like, man, they ain't coming back. I guess.
And you can mourn together.
Really?
Oh, that is so shady. So after y'all have relations, y'all look over and be like, oh, we miss you together.
At this point, baby, I'm gone. Y'all can have it.
Sydney Starr is getting backlash after appearing on a show and discussing the negative comments that cisgender women tend to make towards transgender women. Sydney then asked the female host what she would do if she were to hit her for the offensive comments that she made in the past. Now, one person replied and wrote, they still have two things that make them a man. One, they still have a prostate. Two, they still have a Y chromosome. And another person added, that's still a man. And that's three times stronger than a woman that is still a man, period. Now, should transgender women be allowed to fight cisgender women? Armand, what do you think?
Oh, I knew you was going to come to me. Here's the thing, y'all are not going to like me on this, but I'm trying to find the 50-50 way. So I'm going to just go zero in on Sydney Starr. If we're talking Sydney Starr, she's on reality TV. She's on these baddie shows. Should Sydney Starr be able to slap one of these baddies on the show if they slapping her? Absolutely. And I feel like because Sydney Starr is not your typical, like, testosterone-built, half-transgendered, wig-wearing cross-dresser. Like, she's actually a transgender woman. She's been moaning. She's soft. She's not as strong as a regular man. And hell, she's not as strong as women, you know? So at the end of the day, I think a lot of times people think transgenders are still strong as men, and they're not, you know? Some of them are, but some of them are not. Sydney Starr, in this case, I believe that if a girl hits her, spits on her, she better fight her back. It's no shade. I feel like they're neck and neck even with strength.
Okay, Al, what do you think?
Hey, I'm old school. I don't think a man should ever hit a woman, ever, ever, ever. I don't care if you're transgender. I just feel like that there is a power dynamic there that one is going to be better than the other. But look, we're in 2024. People are fighting teachers. People are fighting old people. Men are fighting women. So I guess, heck, she's transgender. You know, you run up on her, you could get the two-piece. But me personally, I don't like when I see men or people have more power than women to attack them. It's just not my thing.
You know, I guess the phrase that makes it different is a transgender woman. You know, it's not really a man, you know, I mean, she's not really, but there's still some biology there and there's an argument to be made. I mean, sometimes you see that there's still a lot of strength there and sometimes there's not. So I guess I can't make a blanket statement about the whole thing. I do find it disturbing when I see a really strong transgender woman fighting a natural woman. I'm like, hold up now. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm a woman when I want to be with men or when I want you to treat me a certain way. But then when it comes to fighting, I still have the power of a man that kind of unevens the odds. You know, it does not level the playing field. It makes me have a major advantage. So,
For me, I wouldn't fight Sydney Starr because she's a transgender woman. I don't fight transgenders. So, like, there was one that tried to attack me in West Hollywood. I'm like, girl, I don't get no points.
Wait. Attack you how? What happened?
He tried to run up on me and tried to start a beef with me. And I'm like, girl, I'm not going to fight a trans.
Why?
Like,
what happened? You said?
Well, we haven't liked each other for years. It doesn't even matter. At the end of the day, I'm like, I will get no cool points as a man for dragging you across this club. Like, I'm just not. So I'll let you have it. Because I
want to know.
We'll talk offline. But I don't get any gays, we don't fight trans. I wouldn't fight Sydney Starr.
Okay. All right. Well, we can agree with that then. All right. It's officially draft season. And a man is sharing why his black D1 athlete friends are only into white women. Take a look.
One of my men said this. He just got drafted. He said, bro, I was dating a black girl. Now I'm dating a white girl. I'm about to marry her. He said, the difference between the black girl and the white girl, the biggest difference is the white girl knows when to shut the up. I said, God damn. Listen, this is what they told me. Do with the information as you please. If it takes me 10 to 15 years to find a black woman that's compatible with me, that's what I'm going to do. But this is what they told me. So stop being surprised.
All right. Why do you think successful men continue to demean black women when they reach a certain level of success? Al, let's go to you first. What do you think?
Oh, this is such a tough question. You know, I have a nephew that was D1 and played professional in NFL. And guess what? He married a white woman. And he has a very strong, beautiful, smart, successful black mother. I think, and I'm just going to think out of the box right now. I just feel like, in general, in the beginning, white women usually are more submissive. They give them what they want. They pay for their food. You know, they support them. I just think they're very generous. They make sure their families are generous to these athletes because they know it's like an investment, and they make it easy for these athletes to want to date them. And then there's another side that there's an undercurrent in our culture that for successful black men, not just athletes, but for successful black men, when you have that white woman on your arm, you are considered better. You have made it. It's like the cherry on top of the sundae. In my opinion, that's what I've noticed in the last 40 years of witnessing this. But for me, it's never going to be that way. I always have to have or be around people of color, a black, and you know, I'm multiracial. So I always, though, will respect and have a black woman if I'm with a black woman, and if I'm with a black man, it has to be a black man.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
I think like the clip is a little misleading for me because it just kind of felt like it was like saying that black women just don't shut up and white women know how to shut up. I think what was more interesting to me was the fact that he was saying that, you know, while they have money, white girls have their money too, and they don't wait on the guy to spend his money on them. They'll actually, you know, do the little things, have his lunch right for him after the game, go get him a coffee. And he was basically saying like the black girls hit him up like, hey, we know you got this contract. I need my hair and nails done. Whereas the white girl, she ain't even really asking for money. She's going to pay for his stuff. And she know he's making money, but she's thinking, hey, babe, I'm going to go to Chipotle and get you a kombucha. I'll have it for you. And the black girl's thinking, I need my hair and nails done, baby. You know what I'm saying? What we doing? And so I think it's just a different vibe. And like to Al's point, they're feeling more supported and more cared about versus more taken from. So I don't know.
This is not a black or white thing. This is a class thing. There are plenty of gorgeous black women that have their own money that do all these things. I'm very catering and nurturing to my men, and all my friends are too. Yet they are alpha women with money and always been like that. Never been one of those girls that prioritizes nails. And if you have a girl who prioritizes nails and hair over everything else, that's not a long-term woman, whether she's black or white. And I will tell you this, there's a difference with white women and black women when it comes to these men. I think there's more familiarity with black women and black men. So we talk to y'all the way we would talk to y'all anyways. White women are going to come at you in a different way because they are thinking strategic and long-term. They want you for your money too, but they're willing to wait. I'll buy this little raggedy little Starbucks right now because I'm going to get you as a husband later on and I'm going to really run them pockets. And to say that black women just can't be, we just can't ever shut up. I don't know. Again, a class thing. I think that's more of a class thing than just a race thing. Because if you look at some of these black men that do marry white women, right? And I know we got to go. There is plenty of evidence of white women that when things go bad, that you want to talk ratchet, Tiger Woods' wife beat him up with a golf club. Michael Strahan's wife, white woman, sold all his stuff and had a yard sale. Who was the other one? Russell Wilson's first wife, who was not a looker, how she was behaving. You know what I mean? You can go down the long, there's a list of women. When it goes bad with them, y'all don't talk about how they clean them out in these divorces. They just get their money on the back end, where black women may want their money on the front end because we're kind of used to things not really working out, but y'all be trying to make them think them white women. Oh, all right. Sorry. Coming up next, a former inmate makes history in Pennsylvania. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Soulmates, in honor of graduation season, we would like to celebrate your achievements on Fox Soul by giving you a well-deserved shout out. Now, if you are graduating from an HBCU this month, make sure to submit a photo of yourself rocking your college paraphernalia, along with your name, major, and name of your institution to social media at foxsoul.tv. Congratulations, graduates. And clearly, I need to go back to college so I can pronounce my words properly. So congrats to you. All right, let's get back to some more topics. Speaking of achievements, a Pennsylvania man who has been jailed three times made history after becoming the state's youngest judge at just 27 years old. Hanif Johnson experienced some troubles back in 2012 as a student at Penn State and was arrested for simple assaults, conspiracy, and harassment. Well, 12 years later, he's turned over a new leaf and walking in his purpose. What are your thoughts on this milestone, Al? What do you think?
I think this is an incredible story, and it just warms my heart. You know, I love seeing good stories like this. Someone who took a bad situation and it turned to good. Congratulations, young man, and keep up the good work.
All right. Armand, what do you think about this?
Listen, I love this. You know, from someone who, you know, had a little bit of a trouble past myself, you know, seeing people come up and do their thing and, you know, polish themselves up and do greater things in life is always a win for me. And I'm always excited to see those kind of stories. And I hope they inspire more people to do the same.
The amount of focus you have to have at that age, like that's like the fun time of your life when you out there, you got freedom from your parents, you can do what you want, you have a few dollars in your pocket to really be focused and become a judge is amazing. Young brother, we salute, young man, we salute you and we are proud of you. Switching gears, let me get your thoughts on this post. A man wrote, I just blocked indebted friendships with four of my homeboys. I had back surgery literally a whole month ago and not one of those bleeps checked on your boy. I ain't say bleep. I just blocked and let it be what it is. Bleeps weren't my real friends. All right, y'all. Do you think he was wrong in this situation? And have you dealt with anything similar? Armand, what do you think about this?
Absolutely not wrong. If they knew you were going into back surgery, if you're one of those friends that don't let people know what's going on with you, it's not fair to assume that they should just be calling you and finding out what's going on because everybody has a life. You know, everybody has things going on. So people can't just be calling you trying to figure out what's going on in your daily life. But if you're letting your friends know, hey, I'm having surgery, I'm going underneath the knife, and then you do that, and no one reaches out to you, get rid of those losers. They don't care about you.
All right, Al, what do you think?
In my opinion, they weren't close friends. Close friends wouldn't do this type of thing to a close friend. I think that maybe he thought they were close and they were probably more just associates. They probably played ball together or hung out at the bar together. Because a close friend will know that you have back surgery, that you have back problems, that you have back surgery, that you're in the hospital, that you're home. And there's no way, especially if they are in the vicinity, or even if they're not, that they wouldn't call on you, FaceTime you, or come by and check on you.
I don't know if I would be like blocking them, but I would definitely know what department to put them in. They would not be in the same category that I thought they were in. And a lot of times we throw the word friend around because it feels good or you had some fun times with this person, but they're not your friend. A friend would care that you have anxiety before your surgery. A friend would be like, okay, man, tomorrow's the day. You good? You need anything before you go in? A friend would like probably be there before you even had your surgery to kind of like make sure you didn't need anything. Are you good? That's what a friend. I think we throw the word around. I think I'm going to blame Tom at MySpace. Okay. It was named Tom at MySpace. Ever since MySpace came out, everyone's your friend. Everyone don't belong in your top eight or your top four and everyone's not a friend. So yeah, I feel like that's pretty sad. Hopefully he had some other friends that did check on him because.
Yeah, but everybody's a little bit, like people are more private though too. So sometimes they don't tell you everything. And I don't think it's necessarily fair because like we're all busy here, right? So I'm sure that some of us have been in situations where our friends felt like we weren't present for them because we're too full of ourselves or in our careers. And it's like, no, I just didn't know. I just didn't have the time. So don't judge me on that. You know, at least it's happened to me. My friends have been really upset with me before.
That's true. I've definitely been like not invited to things because they're like, well, we just see you on planes on Instagram. I'm like, yeah, but I still want to be invited, even if I have to say no.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Well, it is Friday. Hopefully y'all have some fun this weekend. I'm going to be in New York. And then you know who's coming to town on Sunday? Luke is going to be at Lava Cantina. So me and my girls, my old friends, maybe we're going to try to get on stage. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Check my Instagram. I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Street Flavor. Y'all have a great weekend. Y'all be good. Y'all going to be out there in the streets this weekend?
No, I'm inside.
I'm inside.
That's a lie. We're going to hear stories on Monday. I bet you. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Bye.